to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages. Welcome to another exciting adventure of Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM and on Facebook Live and all kinds of other social media platforms. Good afternoon. Hope you're having a nice Monday. The weather is breaking. It's getting a little warmer outside. Lots to talk about. Certainly lots in the sports world, lots in the music world, and comedy world as well. So world. Joining us in his absence, our friend Jeffrey with a G is vacationing in fabulous Florida with his mommy and daddy, his sports writer, Rob Mish.
Hey, now.
Our Hank Kingsley of Vegas Nonstop.
Gotta pay tribute.
And also guitarist Patrick Genovese, who'll be performing at Big Dog's Draft House on Rancho on Craig this Thursday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. as part of their Porch Music Local Music Series. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Hey, that'll be it.
And the show is, we've got a new sponsor, Las Vegas Auto Sales on Sahara and Decatur. Great selection of pre-driven used cars for under 10 grand. Las Vegas Auto Sales caters to the entertainment and hospitality industry. If you're in the market for a dependable used car, visit our friend Lucky Lopez at Las Vegas Auto Sales on Sahara and Decatur. Sounds like a joke, but it really is his name, Lucky Lopez. So, Rob, how was your weekend?
It would have been really good if not for the Milwaukee damn Bucks.
Yeah, they killed it for you?
Yeah. I had a pretty good wager last night on Philadelphia at Milwaukee. Philly was only given a couple. Both teams were going in opposite directions. Philly was up by 20 in the first quarter. I left the book, had a nice dinner with a friend, went home, did some laundry. Midnight, I saw the scores, and the Bucks win by 10.
There you go.
So somehow there was a 30-point turnaround in there, and I'm eating crackers this week.
That's what you do for doing your own laundry.
Yes.
I should mention, a couple of the books. We've had you on so much, but we haven't talked about your Bryce Harper, The Last Natural book, or your Ed O'Bannon story, for a while.
Yeah.
So, do you have another book in the works? I know you're always
ready. Well, there was a third one, The Life and Times of Kenny Adams, one of the most unheralded boxing trainers in the country, and he actually is a trainer who's achieved, nobody can really match what he's achieved in the amateur ranks in 30 years in the Army, and then in the professional ranks here in almost 30 years in Vegas. He coached 26 world champions. So his story just went under the radar. A few years ago, I was at a gym watching one of his underlings, and it just popped out that this trainer, he had style and savvy, and he was raw and crude. This guy really, really intrigued me, and I ended up spending nonstop a year and a half with him. And the book is Of Cowards and True Men, a raw look at that world underbelly.
We didn't talk about Triple G about the fight last week. We kind of glossed over that.
Yeah, well, it's still kind of to be determined. There was a drug test that came out today with Canelo, and apparently it's a minor deal. It's some sort of additive that is common in Mexican meats. That's as far as I know, but apparently it's going to be a minor deal and won't upset the apple cart.
Probably black tar heroin. That stuff will mess you up every time.
Yes, that's what I hear.
And our next guest really needs no introduction, so we're not going to do one. Joining Vegas Nonstop with his post-Oscar wrap-up, after the applause dies down, is the leader of the free world.
Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you for joining us. What was your favorite movie of 2017?
Well, there were so many tremendous movies, so many fantastic movies, ones with and without Stormy Daniels. But I think there's, I like things about presidents, because I'm a president. The greatest president in the history of presidents, other than the late, great Abe Lincoln.
Who, yeah, you're a big Lincoln fan, you weren't?
A big Lincoln fan. A lot of people don't know this. He was Republican. Why isn't no one talks about that? No one talks about that. But his wife was maybe a three on a good day. Maybe. And I'm being generous.
Mary Todd.
Very depressed. Very depressed.
Yeah, she suffered depression. Depression. And I can understand
depression,
that.
Like most of this past year in the movies. But I like the one about Lady Bird Johnson. I thought that was great. Lady Bird. Tremendous movie. Anything about Johnson is great.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But I like historical things about presidents. Lady Bird. They had an Irish girl playing the Lady Bird.
Yeah, but every first lady seems to have a cause. What's Malinka's?
Melania.
I'm sorry,
yes.
I call her Malinka.
I don't appreciate you getting her name. Last week it was malaria. The week before that it was malignant. It's not funny, Jonathan. Not funny.
Is she an immigrant?
Yes, she is. She's from Slovenia. We have her family here now. Her mom and her dad are here. Tremendous people.
What do they speak in Slovenia?
Slovenian, Jonathan. People say, I'm not smart, but you're an idiot. I have to tell you.
That's why I have this show.
Her cause is so tremendous. It's starvation. She's starving herself to stay hot and sexy. And I think all women should do that. I think all women should starve. Don't you?
Me Too. Hashtag Me Too. And if not now, when? And any tagline.
Right. Hashtags are great. And they're free.
Yeah.
They're free, which I think is wonderful.
Jewish lives matter.
Right. They do.
From what
I understand. All my top people are Jewish. Even my daughter, my lovely daughter, Ivanka. Do you know she's Orthodox, right? You know,
I heard she keeps kosher.
Yes, and she converted. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Ivanka was voted the sexiest woman alive 6 years in a row in Trump magazine. What are the odds of that?
When did Jared stop working for Subway?
Oh, quite a while ago. You see all the weight he lost? He's very tall and very thin.
So some of the other movies were Darkest Hour.
Yes.
And wasn't it the Steve Bannon story?
It was the Steve Bannon story, The Darkest Hour. And another English person in the lead. And then there's...
Dunkirk was similar. It was like the same movie. So maybe they could have combined them and made it like the Darkest Dunkirk Hour.
I like that idea. And we could have saved some time with that. But you know what? You know, I have to tell you something. I did see Dunkirk. Did you know the Allies? We won. So, spoiler alert, everyone. Everyone, Dunkirk, they made it. They made it. Why make these movies about stuff you can't guess about?
Now, here's a movie that I bet you heard a lot. Get Out.
Right. I've
heard
that.
Don't you hear that? Like every day people say to you, Get Out.
I've heard that. But I heard it was a very intense psychological thriller. Jordan Peele made it. Peele, the guy from
Key and Peele. He didn't think Key.
Well, they probably hate each other.
You think it was like a Martin and Lewis kind of a breakup?
They ended on very bad terms, very bad terms.
Movie cost $4 million to make, and it's made over $300 million?
Well, I've made much more than that, so I don't know what we're talking about.
All right. The Shape of Water.
Stupid, stupid movie made by a Mexican. Right? They're obsessed with water.
Guillermo.
People. And chocolate. Guillermo. Well, that's the butler here at the
building the wall?
I don't get this. Two men, a cat, die so a woman can flood an apartment and make love to a giant goldfish and flush it down the toilet back to the ocean. Makes no sense. And by the way, Splash, so much better. So much better. That Daryl Hannah, when she... It's not the brightest bulb in the lineup.
Daryl Hannah, not smart. No,
she's a vegetarian or a humanitarian or something. You know, very
kind of in. Yeah.
She's an in.
Call Me by Your Name.
Well, I don't watch gay porn, so I don't know too much about this film. But I have to say, I like Armie Hammer. What a tremendous name, Armie. And you know I love the military, Jonathan. No one loves the military more than me. So, and Melania and I, if we have any more children, we're going to name them Army, Air Force, and Marine. Tremendous names. And I fly on Marine One, by the way. Did you know that?
I did.
Great helicopter.
Didn't you get a new one?
Got a brand new one. Made a great deal on it, too. No one makes deals like me. I'm a tremendous deal maker. That's why this country's doing so great.
Now, there was an animated film called Coco.
I can't believe they've run out of ideas in Hollywood. Who wants to see a movie about a cup of hot chocolate? You know what I mean? I mean, Swiss Miss is nice if they had the broad on the box. That would be good.
Or maybe it'd be like the Hershey the story. Music, the Hershey story.
Yes, I think Stormy was in that.
Film it in Pennsylvania.
Right.
I know. Jennifer Lawrence came out with Jodie.
Wow, what a knockout.
She kind of looked like your wife, Malinka.
She did. She looked a lot like Melania. And Jodie looked like a miniature Dutch boy.
She looked pretty short, didn't she?
She looked tremendously short on those fake crutches trying to get sympathy because she didn't have anything in the running.
She hasn't done a movie for a while.
No, she hasn't.
I think she likes the Chianti.
Right, right. She did kind of look like a midget.
Next to Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she looked like a midget.
She thanked...
Did you notice, by the way, no midgets were nominated this year?
That inclusion?
Yes, that's racist.
Writer.
That's racist.
Not to
use
midgets.
I like little people. They're so wonderful.
Randy Newman could have done the soundtrack if there was a
little
midget
people.
Movie. We need another midget movie.
We do. People love them.
What about The Post? Did you see the movie The Post? That was kind of political.
The Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. Terrible, terrible paper. Terrible lies. Fake news.
Fake news?
Fake news. I don't like Meryl Streep. I used to like Tom Hanks. No. Very unattractive. She's not aging well. You have to admit that. She's just not aging well. Very true.
Love Streep. I love Meryl Streep. Mm. Yeah. She can play any part. She could probably play you in a movie.
Probably. Yeah. She's very mannish. Broad shoulders.
Manly hands.
Yeah. Manly hands.
Phantom Thread. What was Phantom Thread
about? I love all the Star Wars movies, and I think the Phantom Thread was the best. Daniel Day-Lewis is Darth Vader, stroke of genius. Very smart.
I thought he was retired.
No, he was right. He was at the Oscars.
Made that left foot movie?
He was at the Oscars.
I think he went for a movie about his foot.
It's quite a while ago he won.
Who do you think, whose face was pulled the tightest? Jane Fonda? Rita Moreno or Warren Beatty?
I think Faye Dunaway wins. It looked like her face was wrapped in saran wrap really tight. She had like a knob on the back of her head. Warren looked pretty good. He looked pretty good for a guy. But don't you think I look better than all of them?
But he played a president. Remember, that's how
Bullworth or something.
Well, no, maybe he played the president twice. Wasn't it him, or was it Michael Douglas that was
Michael Douglas. He was a good president.
He was a good president?
But his wife played the love interest.
His wife.
Annette Bening
played
right.
The American was very
president,
close.
Which I am. I am the. We should remake that. I could be in that.
Could just call it The Donald.
The Donald.
Yeah.
Right. How about The Apprentice President?
I am going to copyright
that right now.
Well, I think that kind of wraps up your Oscar
wrap-up.
No,
I could talk for hours.
Not on this show, you can't.
The country's just running itself now.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our next guest, Patrick Genovese. I don't know if you saw the Oscars. Did you see the Oscars last night?
I did see the Oscars.
All right. Well, I know you've got a song prepared for us, and we should probably get to it now while we're still on the air. What have you got for us? Is it an original song or something that we...
No, I don't, actually. I've got a song by Tom Petty. I watched Eddie Vedder do a song last night on the Oscars.
A Cubs fan. Amazing. Eddie Vedder, yes, big Cubs
absolutely.
Fan. All right, I'm going to move this microphone down or
this
one down and this one over here, and Bobby's ready.
All right, it's a song by Tom Petty, The Heartbreakers.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. And you can stand me up at the gates of hell. Well, I won't back down. I'm gonna stand my ground. I won't be turned around. I'm gonna keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I stand my ground, and I won't back down. Will I know what's right? I've got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing us around, gonna stand our ground, and we won't back down. Well, hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Well, I stand my ground, and I won't back down, and no, I won't back down.
Great song, baby.
That was me playing the guitar.
Patrick Genovese. We're going to have some conversation with Pat after our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
NBC Sports 920, The Game is KBAD Las Vegas.
It's Monday afternoon here in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, and you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. If you're near a computer, you can find us on Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Scott LV. Like us, share us, like us. We also have social media on Twitch and on Instagram, and I want to thank comedian John DiDomenico for... pretending to be our fake president again. John, thank
fake
you.
Fake president, always a pleasure to be here.
John and I were up to midnight making notes and laughing about the Academy Awards.
We just so much material.
It was so funny that we had to bring it in, so we hope you enjoyed it. And the last song was by Patrick Genovese. Patrick's going to be at Big Dog's Draft House on Rancho and Craig. And if you're watching, you can see I'm wearing a Big Dog's T-shirt right now.
Yeah.
Over 40 craft beers.
The best.
Wisconsin-inspired food by Chef Sergio and our friend.
What is Wisconsin-inspired food?
Anything with cheese.
Yeah, a lot of cheese. Triple cheese.
You got a cheese head sitting right next to you, right there.
Yep.
A Milwaukee Bucks fan and a Packer backer and every all of the above.
Yep.
So, Patrick, this is the second week of the Porch Thursday. And the weather's agreed on Thursday, so it's going to be. It's supposed to be in the 70s this week.
Perfect.
And it's backed up at the Spaghetti Bowl.
Right. That's
we don't do sports in Florida. Chopper one.
We're high up over the Spaghetti Bowl.
95 north, and the Spaghetti Bowl is backed up heading north, south, in any direction you want to go.
Take the Slauson off ramp, right?
Take the Slauson cut off. Cut off your Slauson. Turn left at the fork in the road. That's right, matinee lady.
Man, we're showing our age.
That's what I love about radio. We could do that. We could do this on radio. God. Carson was
your
great.
Your camera's down.
Oh,
hey now.
Talk amongst yourselves.
We were talking about throat remedies and keeping your pipes kind of in excellent shape. Both you guys use your throats, obviously. You're a singer, comedian. And we dispelled the tea rumor. One of you guys want to address that?
Well, I was losing my voice a lot a couple of years ago, and I went to a ear, nose, and throat guy, and we went through everything I was doing, and I said, when I start to lose my voice, I do a hot tea with lemon, and he said, worst thing you can do, the tea's a diuretic and dries out your throat, makes it scratchy, and the acid in the lemon is really bad, so it's just warm water and honey, which coats the vocal cords, and just don't strain them. Don't keeps them.
Yeah,
keep them supple. Water's the best thing because it just kind of keeps it.
And gargling with warm salt water kind of attracts some yuck out kind of.
I'm glad you picked that up. I dropped the camera. I go get the camera. You're going to talk about throat remedies.
There you go.
Right back for the commercial break. Throat remedies. Welcome to Throat Remedies and You here on Vegas Nonstop.
Certain when you're singing and you're using your vocal cords one way, if I'm doing like Lieutenant Columbo or something and you're pushing your voice,
I think his
folks,
name was Peter
I
Falk.
Hate to bother you. Right. You know, you're pushing your vocal cords down. You're kind of straight.
I got one more thing. I got one more question.
You know, when I came in here, there was a ham sandwich in there. I'm a little confused. That was my sandwich.
Peter Falk was great.
Was he great?
He was a great actor. And I got to know him a little bit. Him and Charlie Durning, who was another great character actor.
I met him, too.
You met Charlie?
Yeah, I met him. I met him on the set of IQ. He was the greatest guy. And I remember this. We were doing overnight shoots. We were shooting from 7 at night till 7 in the morning. And we would break for lunch at 2 in the morning. And it was a very big cast, a very big crew. And he went to get in line. And the PA walked over to him. And he said, no, we'll take you to the front of the line. He said, no. I wait in line like everyone else.
Yeah.
Crew eats first.
Yeah.
Crew eats first.
You know, Charlie was a veteran. And he was a film historian. You could name any movie to Charlie Durning and tell you what year, who the cast was. If you want to see a wonderful movie with both Charlie Durning and Peter Falk, it's called Happy New Year.
Yes.
It's It's about a heist. It's a, they're robbing a bank
Florida,
on New Year's Eve. Great movie. Yeah. So, Patrick, let's talk a little bit about the new music that's coming up, because you and I had a great conversation about it the other day. And I just feel some of these indie artists, you know, I make a mistake sometimes of saying, you know, the kids that are coming out of UNLV, but it's beyond that. It's just the young talent that's coming up and writing songs. Today, I'm really liking what I'm hearing, and I think you agree with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a ton of, if we can just talk Las Vegas, I mean, it's out there. And I wouldn't name a bunch of names because I'd forget half of them. That's how many there really are. But the genres are different. There's a lot of female artists right now that are really starting to make some tremendous art, tremendous music in the town. Yeah, the venues are supporting the live scene. There's, you know, for the first time in years, I think Imagine Dragons had a lot to do with it, was bringing original music to the Strip. Never had that back in the day, which is really cool. I think they're starting to realize that Las Vegas is not only just a destination for gaming, but so much more, and that you've seen the success of the Killers and the Dragons and otherwise and some of these other bands that have written their own stuff. They cut their teeth playing not only in the bars and things, but they actually did move into some of the casinos. And that has helped put a bigger spotlight on the Las Vegas sound, which I don't know if it's necessarily identifiable like a Seattle sound would have been or an Athens sound back in the 90s, but Las Vegas definitely has its own vibe, and it's got a very strong core of songwriters and a really great and tight community that support one another. And you've seen that, you know, as well, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, one of the things that I love about Big Dogs and Kurt Wiesner particularly, mm-hmm. that turned me on to so many of these young acts and young musicians that are coming up right now and writing their own original material and doing cover material and getting their stage time. But they've got, it's even beyond that, where they're building their fan base, they're marketing themselves, they're doing their own recording, and they're being professional with how they handle themselves in the business side of it.
That's, you know, and what I do professionally with Gibson, it's building your brand. As an artist, one of the things I love to tell all my young artists is, you know, there's a strong correlation with athletics and being a musician up and coming. If there are very few five tool players, you know, so you kind of have to develop those skill sets. And from an artist relations standpoint, you like to see the business aspect is something that's very lacking. And then, you know, artists by nature aren't the most business savvy folks, so they need
to. Billy Joel.
Yeah, right. Yeah, watch Hired Gun. Yeah. I mean, that's a great documentary. Explains a lot of it. The business side of this is important, and to build your brand, to keep your websites current and all of your social media stuff current, and to be able to have your ethos of what you look like and what you present, because gone are the days where it's just a record label deal and they put a bunch of money behind you. It's good and bad. I mean, you can really support your own identity without the backing of a huge label. It helps, for sure, but for artists locally to put their music out, I always tell them, get your business side in order. Get your look, get your vibe. You got to have talent and work hard at it. It's just like anything else. And you know, there's going to be a little bit of sprinkling of luck in that as well. And
now, on the artist development side, with your work with Gibson, what is it that you what's your day to day job like for Gibson?
My role is to, you know, work with artists to get to that platform. Like you see the Imagine Dragons, that's a great success story to see a band playing. You know, with beers being tossed at them at O'Shea's back in the day.
Yeah, that's what you told me. They used to play at O'Shea's.
And watching them grow to the Hard Rock stage and then be able to get those deals, and next thing you know, the next year they're on the VMAs and away they go.
That's incredible.
It's cool to have been there, you know, watching them from the beginning, and I couldn't say enough about their organization in general and how they do business. They're just an amazing group of people that do a lot of great. So they're pretty much the litmus test on how to become a band, and then when you're big and famous, how to act as a band.
Give back to this
they
town.
Do they give millions of dollars back to the Tyler Robinson Foundation, which they founded and still are active to this day on a daily basis in grassroots effort and raising millions of dollars for childhood cancer and stuff of that nature. So yeah, it's an amazing thing.
What's new in the world of guitars
specifically? I got a beautiful one right here, but you know, it's just guitars are a kind of holistic thing. They're not all the same, and guitars, especially Gibson guitars, are made by hand and made by people that care. You know, they're not all perfect, and that's the beauty of a piece of artwork. It's not always perfect, but if it's perfect for you, then that's great. And if it allows your muse to create, then you know, you got a good one.
How did it happen for you? Were you just a young musician when you, your affiliation with Gibson?
No, it's kind of weird. I was a college athlete. I wanted to play professional baseball, and that was my thing, a big sports guy. And when that, you know, you kind of get to that age where you're like, yeah, maybe I can't run. I'm a 278 hitter, and you know, I'm not that fast. Maybe I got to look at doing something else. And so you got to move on. And music just became that thing for me. It filled that void of, you know, wanting to. Baseball, if you're an athlete, you get it. You're intense every day. And then music, that scene with the Unplugged era kind of just got me going. And I grew my hair long like an idiot and thought it was cool. Thought I was going to be a rock star. But, you know, just playing music was a cool thing. It was rad.
John's got a call coming in.
No, it was you. It was your show. It popped on.
But now it's Unplugged.
The thing about music, though, I tell everybody, you can do it. You don't have to. I hear a lot. I always wanted to learn how to play. Or you were talking about before you started. I always wanted to do it. It's not unless you're physically unable to do it. And trust me, there's people out there that do it with one arm. You can always do this. You can always pick up and learn how to play three chords in the truth, we like to say. And you don't have to be great. You don't have to do it in front of people. You can just play. And there's no age limit to do this. My father's 80 years old, and he's, well, 79. I better not age him to 80 yet. But he's almost 80, and he's playing still to this day.
Yeah. He's a guitar player?
My dad is a guitar player and been here since 1960, and he's still playing his Gibson Les Pauls.
He plays a Gibson Les Paul?
Oh, yeah. That's great. He actually played with Les Paul. At the Iridium Club in New York City.
Yeah, my friend Jackie the Joke Man Martling used to go. I think it was like every Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
And he flew back there and got a chance to get on stage with Les, and it was really cool.
More with Patrick, John, and Rob. We're going to talk about NCAA after this commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Nonstop on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM, Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV. And we're here with our guests, Rob Misch, sports writer Rob Misch, comedian impersonator John DiDomenico.
We're back, baby, yeah!
And guitar player and all-around good guy, Patrick Genovese.
Thank you.
So, Robbie, I want to tee it up a little bit and talk about NCAA and what's going on, and if you could fill us in on how the brackets and your picks and how you're going to pick your Final Four.
Sure.
Take it away.
Well, first of all, what's most important to locals would be the UNLV Rebels. They have been stinking it up here lately. They start the Mountain West Tournament 11 a.m. Wednesday. They've lost five in a row, and they have particularly looked bad in the first half. They've been outscored by almost 15 points in the first half in those last five losses. They open against ninth seed Air Force on Wednesday, 11 a.m. The bad thing for the Rebels is their next three potential opponents all have very good numbers against the spread. That's what kind of intrigued me a few weeks ago, the number against the spread. As everybody in Vegas knows, you have to win at least 52.38% of the time to break even. That's with the 11 to 10 vig. You go to the book, you make a bet. You got to bet $22 to win $220. You got to bet $220 to win $200. It's that 10% vig that equates to 52.38 win percentage. So in UNLV's case, they play Air Force, which covers 62.5% of the time. If they beat Air Force, they will play Nevada, the in-state rival, which covers 55.2% of the time. And then if they beat Nevada, a potential third game could be against San Diego State. The Aztecs cover 63% of the time. And, of course, everybody remembers the just utter blowout in San Diego when the Aztecs beat the Rebels by almost 40 a couple weeks ago. So it's looking really, really tough for UNLV. They've got 19 victories. A 20-win season is kind of the benchmark of success. They've had a lot of trouble getting there the last 2 weeks. Maybe they get there against Air Force. A lot of people won't be surprised if they don't, if they flop against Air Force. 11 a.m., Thomas and Mack, Wednesday morning. That crowd is going to be very, very sparse. I would venture to say the crowd at Big Dogs on Thursday night will be bigger.
Yeah, I'm right. Well, because Patrick Genovese is going to be there.
All right, all right. But all right, something bigger kind of intrigued me, Jonathan, that with that 52.38% break-even point with betting or beating the book. I look back at some recent Final Fours. I went back 20 years, and I tried to see if you could equate Final Four success with beating the spread. And I found out some pretty interesting facts. The last five national champions beat the spread at a 58.9% clip. Seven of the last eight of the last 10, 11 of the last 13, all conquered that number. The past 10 Final Fours, that's 40 teams. The past 10 Final Fours, 26 of those teams covered the number. That's 65%. In the last five Final Fours, 16 of the 20 teams covered. That's 80%. So basically, if you get into March Madness and you cover the spread and you cover it well, that kind of equates to success in the tournament. And by looking at current teams who do cover and don't cover, we can fade on Kansas, West Virginia, Michigan State, Kentucky, Arizona, and Oklahoma. The teams to look out for, and my Final Four is going to come from these five teams: Virginia, Xavier, Duke, Michigan, and Villanova. Depending on how the brackets play out next Sunday, I will have a Final Four, and that's who we're going
to
look at.
Can you break it down to the different tournaments and explain, you know, the different, you know, I know the, you know, NCAA is split up.
Yeah.
So if you could just take a minute and explain to the novice how you know how it breaks.
Well, basically the big tournaments, they've got a whole bunch of big dogs who are getting in the NCAA tournament regardless of how they do in their conference tournament. That's looking at, say, Michigan, which just won the Big Ten conference tournament in New York.
Tremendous state, by the way.
Yes.
Great state. Great state.
And so who are some of the teams that make up the Big Ten? Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, although they're going to miss the NCAA tournament for the first time in 20 years, they have not had a good year. Wow. They didn't do well in the Big Ten tournament, and so they might not even be playing in the NIT, so they've just had that tough a season. But in the Big Ten, we're talking about Michigan State, Michigan, Nebraska.
And they lost a 13-game winning streak?
Pardon me?
Michigan State had lost its 13-game winning streak?
Yeah, they did, and then that got blasted this weekend. But as I said, I'm looking at Michigan. Michigan won that tournament. They're tested. They blew away the number, blew away Purdue. And so that's one of the premier elite teams that I'm looking forward to. You have the lesser conferences, a rider who will only go to the tournament if they win their conference tournament. So you're going to have teams 22, 23, 24 wins. If they don't win their conference tournament, they're not going to the NCAAs. So it's kind of one and done for those the minnow conferences.
And then the Big 12 would be another conference.
Right. Their tournament's going on this week. We talked about Oklahoma, or I mentioned Oklahoma. They're 9-19 against the spread, 32.1%. They have Trey Young, who's one of the most gifted players in the country, but he really plays with his blinders on. You can see him come down, go 1-on-3 and not look for teammates, not slow it up. I think that's their Achilles heel. You got Kansas, who won their conference again. But I think that's a down year for the Big 12.
So using your theory of 52%, who have you come up with?
I came up with Virginia, Xavier, Duke, Michigan, and Villanova. Of those five, I'll be going with four next Sunday when the brackets come out. Hopefully, they're all kind of in their own regionals, and there's a chance for all four of those to be, you know, in the final dance. The NCAA has a way, or the selection committee has a way of muddling things up, let's say. So if, say, Virginia and Xavier somehow are in the East, Duke and Michigan somehow in the West, well, that could really be a curveball. But I think each of those teams kind of stand on their own, and they're going to be top seeds, and they'll be treated as such.
Well, calling all the way in from Florida, we've got Jeffrey with a G to voice his opinion on what's happening on NCAA. And Jeffrey with a G, are you with us?
Johnny Scott, I am here. Hello, boys, and happy Monday.
First of all, what's the temperature in Florida?
It's currently 81 degrees as the sun is slowly going down right now, Jonathan. I just came in from the pool.
Well, we're here. Rob's got his own theory on busting it down to 52% of the, you know, the teams have to hit 52% to make it to the Final Four. I don't know if you heard. Were you able to hear what
when
Rob...
he says 52%, he's referring to hitting 52% of their field goals?
No. I'm talking about, basically to break even betting in this town, Jeffrey, as you well know, you have to hit 52.38% of your bets just to break even because of the VIG, because of the 11-10.
That's absolutely right, Rob, and that's why you and I have discussed so many times why I really like playing dogs, or I like taking the money line where even if I do lose, there is no VIG and or juice that I'm going to be paying the book.
Right, but what I did, Jeffrey, is I looked back in the last 10, 20 years, and I really analyzed the NCAA tournament, and I took a close look at the teams that won the tournament and the Final Four teams. I was just curious, of those elite teams, were they truly elite? How often did they cover the spread? And in the last five Final Fours, 16 of those 20 teams, 80%, covered that spread and covered it well. So I'm just looking for a little edge to maybe pick out some Final Four teams this season, and I think that's going to help. That's going to be a good benchmark.
And you're saying they covered those games all the way through the tournament, or just basically from like the Sweet 16 on?
I'm talking about during the season. Those are
teams during the season. I see what you're saying. 16 of the 20 teams covered at what did you say, an 80% rate?
80% of the last five Final Four teams.
Oh, I got you.
Covered the number during their seasons at an 80% clip. So not only they won by margin, but they won by very, very good figures. So,
I got to tell you, man, we saw some really exciting games this past weekend. I heard you guys talking about Michigan.
Yep.
I was on Michigan myself yesterday.
Yep.
After they knocked off Michigan State at the Garden, they came back and beat a very good Purdue team. This team is clicking at the right time, 9 straight wins. I think they're battle-tested and going into the tournament at the right time. And I don't think they're going to be much higher than a 4 seed, perhaps, or a 3 seed. And I think they can cause teams a lot of trouble. The other two teams that I like a lot in this tournament is I like Villanova. Obviously, 2 years removed from a national championship themselves, they're starting to play hot again and always have a great program. And I got to tell you, man, I love what I saw from Cincinnati yesterday. This is a strong team that beat a very good Wichita State team. And they play really good defense. And, of course, watch out for Virginia, number one team in the country. I think this team can go all the way just based on their defense alone. This could be the best defensive team we've seen in the last 30 years.
I agree. I hope they go along because, man, those guys work their butt off on defense, and we just don't see that in this day and age in the game.
And that's what I love about them, and they do all the fundamentals so well when it comes to posting up and playing defense and making their free throws and not making they don't take silly fouls when they're down and coming back and they're under pressure. They play a very disciplined game, and that's the reason I like them too.
And they cover at a 73.1% clip. They're 19-7-1 against the number, so that's why Virginia is strong. Michigan is 22-11 against the number. Duke is 19-10, 65.5% against the number. We saw them pummel Carolina on Saturday, down 10 at the half. They won by 10 going away. Grayson Allen had a hell of a game. And
they go as Grayson Allen goes when that kid's on, and hopefully he's gotten over some of his temper tantrum and dirty play issues that's plagued him throughout his career, because if he can stay clean and stay off out of foul trouble and not, you know, sit on the bench because he's forcing Coach K's hand, I think that team could go far as well. Duke's always a great program.
They've done very well putting the ball in his hand, and they've also packed it in on a type of zone defense that both of them have served them very well. I'm going with another Cincinnati team, though. Xavier is 20-11 against the number, and I think I'm going to
They're shade, also in the top 10, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, Jeffrey. I think I'm going to shade toward them. But, again, my Final Four is going to come from Virginia, Xavier, Duke, Michigan, and Villanova. I'll know next week when the brackets come out.
I was going to say you won't know till Sunday, but
right.
That sounds like a really good group of teams. And I think teams like Cincinnati and Virginia, Rob, are the kind of defense that could slow down a Villanova and or a hot Duke offense.
Right, and then I think in a very big picture, we can probably look to be taking a few unders this March, huh?
I definitely agree, and I've got to tell you, I saw what Michigan did to that Purdue offense, which has been great all year. They're also playing really, really well on both sides of the ball when it counts.
Yep.
I mean, they just went through Michigan State and Purdue back-to-back like no problem.
Right. So...
Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead. We're going to let you jump off. I appreciate you calling.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the call. And, Rob, I'll talk to you when I get back, and we'll start breaking down some ways for our listeners to make some money this March Madness.
Absolutely. How's Florida? You doing all right?
Florida's beautiful. I got here late Friday night. The weather was windy the last couple of days with some really hard rip currents, the warnings all over up and down the coast, but seems to be calming down, about 81 today. Might take the nephew fishing tomorrow and enjoy some fishing on the water.
Bring back a key lime pie.
Actually, we caught, I'll tell you what, speaking of Florida, we went to a Panthers Flyers game yesterday. Watch out for the Florida Panthers if they can sneak into the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference of the NHL. This team is playing very well. Luongo is very hot right now, and they can make a lot of noise coming out of the eighth seed in the East.
And our Golden Knights woke up. They beat the Devils after three straight losses.
Finally, and I think everyone can breathe easy now that they don't have to go out and win every game. They just need to get healthy for the playoffs.
Yep.
Jeffrey Kramer, Jeffrey with a G, line one. Go ahead, safe travel. Say hi to the parents and the folks and everybody in Florida. We're going to take another commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Stay right where you are. Vegas Nonstop with a special guest coming into the room in the last five minutes of the show. Clint Holmes appearing at the Westgate with his friend Earl Turner.
Hey, J. Scott.
You're getting one of my plugs here. Shows that we recommend, of course, Big Dogs Thursday night. Our friend Patrick Genovese is going to be at Big Dogs on the Porch. And shows we recommend at Bally's Las Vegas, Misbehave Game Show at 8 p.m., Tom Green, 10 p.m., Bronx Wanderers now at 8 p.m. They got moved up to 8 o'clock, seven nights a week. At Harrah's Las Vegas, Tenors of Rock, Menopause the Musical. At Westgate, Clint Holmes and Earl Turner. Caesars, at Caesars Cocktail Cabaret, 5 p.m. How are you?
I am good, Jay Scott. I realized that I didn't get back to you, so I said, let me go by.
Let's just pop in.
Just pop in.
We're in time to hear Patrick do a second song.
No,
we're never going to kick you out. Patrick's appearing Thursday night at Big Dog's Draft House on Rancho and Craig. They're out on the porch now. Boom. So, Pat, you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, go.
It's another Allman Brothers song here.
You can't find the light that guides you on a cloudy day. When the stars ain't shining bright and you feel like you lost your way. When the candle lights at home that burn so very far away. You said you got to let your soul shine, just like my daddy used to say. Used to say your soul shine better than the sunshine. Oh, it's better than the moonshine. It's damn sure better than the rain. Hey, now people don't mind. We all feel this way sometimes. You got to let your soul shine. Shine till the break of day. Well, sometimes a man can feel this emptiness. Like a woman has robbed him of his very soul. I want to, Lord knows you can feel like this. And when the world seems cold, you got to let your spirit take control. Now I'm talking about your soul shine. It's better than the sunshine. It's better than the moonshine. It's damn sure better than the rain. Hey, now people don't mind. We all feel this way sometime. Got to let your soul shine. Shine on and on until the break of day.
Big Dogs Draft House Rancho and Craig, man, that's awesome. You're getting positive feedback on folks that are watching. It's like,
thank you.
Great to hear you, Pat. So
that's very nice.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having
me. Go see him live.
A lot of fun, man.
Go see him Thursday.
Thursday.
Clint Holmes just jumped in. So
see him on.
Congratulations, Clint.
NCAA. Any picks for Final Four?
I know. It's a weird year, right? I know you guys have been talking about it, and my teams are gone.
Me too.
So I'll just be watching to see what happens.
Yeah.
Who are you picking? Who did you pick?
Well, I'm down to Xavier, Virginia, Duke, and Michigan.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
With a caveat that when the bracket comes out Sunday, it could be a little altered, but I think those are the four I'm going to be sticking with.
Okay. Robbie, you got 20 seconds to do your thing?
Yeah, everybody, keep an eye on UNLV baseball. They just cracked the top 25, so they are going to deserve your eyeballs. And also Thursday in Columbus, Ohio, I believe it's a noon tip-off for UNLV hockey. They play the ACHA Division I Hockey Championships against Drexel. And then if they beat Drexel on Friday, could be a matchup against arch enemy Ohio Bobcats. So keep an eye out for the UNLV hockey squad.
And Bobcats. Keep an eye out for Bobcats.
Just in general, just in case.
Quickly, the show.
The show is called Soundtracks with Earl Turner and me and an incredible band at the Westgate. We're there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights throughout the year. Just added a couple of weeks in April. We're there this weekend, and then we're on hiatus a couple of weeks, and then we're back in April and May and June and July. And come see us.
And hopefully we'll join you, come in next Monday or something, and join us for the full show.
I'll come in.
I want to thank Rob Bish, sports writer Rob, John DiDomenico.
Yeah, baby!
This is funny. We're going to do Austin Powers. Patrick Genovese this Thursday. Patrick, thanks for coming out, man. Jonathan Scott, eat well, party hard, like us, and share us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon. If you see us out, buy us a drink.
No reasons, because there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be sure? Tell me why.